This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's it. You'll like it, man. He's on down. We got a good little crowd down here.
And we got a poster board.
Look there.
Of Roger Goodell right here.
Is that life size? He's bigger than that, isn't he?
Yeah, it's pretty big. That's Roger Goodell, get down here. You can take a picture with the cardboard cutout.
Yeah, he's got a real red.
Roger Goodell.
He's got a real red tint to him, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, the hair too. Yeah, all
hey,
of it.
What's up, Raj?
There you go. Food trucks, beverages for adults and the kids as well. And so get on down here, man. It'll be a good time. Party for free. The McNairs, man, Cal and Hannah, they got it. They got it for you. They're flipping the bill for this sucker. So get on out here and have a good time.
Is this a thing on your show?
This does, actually.
No. Hell no, it doesn't, Ron. No, it doesn't, Hannah. You got a Graces with your presence?
Yeah. No. Graces. Yeah, you got to be close by.
And you've really set the standard, too, where you come on Sports Radio 610 and you really push the envelope a bit.
Yeah, get on down here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get on down. You know, we got two seats. We got two chairs. We got two headsets. Come on down here, Cal.
You're covered. You're not in the sun. They've got one of them little fan, them little cooler fans back here behind us. I'm about to plug that thing in.
Put you on a good pair of shorts, Cal.
Yeah.
And come on. You think Cal wears shorts?
What are you, hot, Clint?
No, I'm not hot. No, I was looking out for
a baby, man.
No, I was looking out for Hannah. I know, you get out here in this humid weather and your hair starts to frizz a little bit.
Call on the air.
I was just worried about the ladies out there, man.
Yeah.
The first lady, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Hey, I've never seen Cal in a pair of shorts.
I have.
Oh, yeah. At training camp? Oh, yeah.
He has on shorts.
Ain't no doubt.
But he always had on pants.
Now, if he came out there in some britches all the time, I'd be telling him something.
Okay. Well, it'd be Tyler. I thought he was Tyler-like.
No, he goes out there.
He goes out. He's a mid-calf sock guy.
Maybe I need to go look at these photos again. I hadn't seen him in shorts.
Absolutely. Polo shirt, usually tucked in with some black shorts with the calf socks.
Look it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm disappointed in the H-Town over there. That's an old banner over there. It's got 24 on the jerseys. It's 25.
Later. Well, those may be just Derek Stingley jerseys because he just got paid.
That's a way to spin it. That is a way to spin it.
Yeah, quick off my feet.
I mean, well, you are off of them. You ain't on them. I was going to correct you, but you are off of them.
Now, listen, man, it's a lot to get to. We are going to dive into this draft here and throughout the show. But first, Clint, man, we got to talk about them Rockets, man. I bought them Rockets last night. You said you felt good about it. Many of you said you felt good about it. Some people texted in that they were going to blow out the Warriors last night, and they won comfortably in this game, and they held a lead, especially after things turned with Jimmy Butler going out. But they held the lead. They played much better. They shot much better, Clint, and also, for the fourth straight game against the Warriors, the Rockets have held them under 100 points. And they win this game last night, 109-94. Jalen Green had a huge performance, and they played great. I do want to get to Jalen Green a little bit later on. But, Clint, big win last night from the Rockets.
Yeah, big win, big adjustments by Ime Udoka, big adjustment by Jalen Green. And really, for Jalen Green to make that level of adjustment, it had to be an adjustment by a lot of guys. Fred VanVleet, one of them. What a leader, what a veteran, what a teammate to go out there, and after you go out there and mess the bed shooting 13 threes tonight, you would expect, a lesser man would go out there and want to get his shots up and redeem himself, but instead he clearly conceded the ball to Jalen Green on multiple occasions early, and Jalen Green – when he knocked that I think it was the second three he took, when he knocked that sucker down, Tyler, I knew that bet you had was safe. And I knew we had a really good shot to have a good night as Rocket fans at that point.
He eclipsed it by 20, didn't he?
Yeah, man. Yeah, he knocked it down. What a bounce back. Now I think it is – I think it's safe. I think it's real. I think it's fair to look back at game one and say, hey, there was probably some first game shock, some first game jitters, some the young team that hadn't played in the playoff much with the exception of a couple of guys. It's hard to lean into that when you've only had one game and you really don't know what to compare it to. Last night was a 180 from the previous game on Sunday, and just tip the cap to the fellas, man. As you said before, that was about as must-win a game as the Rockets had all year, and they went and got it done.
Yeah, they did. No, it was a big, 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 big win by the Rockets, and they did what they had to do. As we said, we will make sure that we dive into that, because I do want to get a little bit more into Jalen Green. And as you talked about the thought of, some of these guys had some nerves in there. Wait till you hear what Jalen Green had to say. We'll let you hear that a little bit later on. It was something amazing what he had to say in honesty about how he was in game one. We'll let you hear that in a bit. But, Clint, we are here for the draft, and this is a big one tonight. This is a big one tonight for the Texans, depending on what it is they're going to do. And I want to throw this to you, to the people as well, those of you on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. You can text in 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. I see people already going in about the draft. Just before we kind of, that's coming. It's coming.
That
it's coming,
Tyler. On.
It's getting here. But before we kind of dive into the nitty-gritty, Clint, do you think Texans fans, do you think we are going to walk away from tonight feeling good about the move or the moves that are made by the Texans? I mean, when I say feeling good, Clint, not a you got to force yourself to feel good, like, hey, man, I think Kenyon Green might work out a guard at 15. Like, but feel good the way we did when we were at the draft in Kansas City, and you're like,
well, I mean, yeah, Ron, I mean, it's the deal here is, right, do we get a John Harris, Andre Ware moment, which I saw on Twitter earlier where they moved up and got Will Anderson and they're flexing and high-fiving and,
wow.
I mean, you think they just won the lottery kind of deal, or do you get one of those, hey, man, we just got to trust D'Amico and trust Nick and all right, let's keep it moving to training camp. You know, to me, it's one of those. I don't see anybody being disappointed. When you got your first-round pick, your second-round pick, and two threes, and a general manager that's done well, a head coach has done well, they've moved and shook all over the draft, up and down the board, it's hard to think that you're going to be in a position where it's like, oh, man, what the hell are the Texans doing? They got a really good football team, not a ton of needs, desperate needs on the team. And so, look, I don't expect to walk away like, what the hell did I just watch? Or what the hell did I just hear? What did they just do?
Yeah.
To me, it's going to be one of those, you're just going to have to trust and see what happens, 6 months into this experiment. Or it's going to be like, look out now. They just got a dude that's a plug and play that's going to take
this
team to the next level.
That's what I'm saying. Do you get the feeling that it's going to be what we're talking about tomorrow? Is it going to be, and what's been talked about all day on Sports Radio 610, is it going to be, yeah, man, I love what they did here. Yeah. I love what they did here, or crossing your fingers, as you just
that's
said
right.
there. Because that to me is where – because it could go either way, Clint. As we've talked about it throughout the week, they have the ability to do whatever they want to do, right? They can go up. They can go back. They have the ability to do whatever.
Well, when you've built the roster that you've built over, and it's not just last year, it's not just since D'Amico's been here. Like I said, I think Nick has done a hell of a job building this thing before pre D'Amico, as well as since D'Amico got here. They've done a hell of a job, man. And so it gets exponentially more difficult to grab a surefire plug and play starter. When you've narrowed it down to, hey, man, they put a couple opportunities on this team for that guy to exist. And then you take the roll of the dice that the draft typically is, and you go, okay, it's even more of a bullseye to hit kind of thing. And so we'll see what they end up doing. You know, I hope it's one of a couple of positions. And, you know, again, for me, it's about plug-and-play difference makers right now. It's not about developmental. It's not about down the road. And I know it's a long shot. I know it's a lot to ask, but that's just where I'm at as a Texans fan right now.
All right. Listen, fellas, we have talked about, right, two major positions, right? It's been receiver and offensive line. Those are the two major positions we've talked about, Clint. Those are the two major spots. Hold on, somebody. Those are the two major spots and areas that have been linked to the Texans in this draft. Receiver and somewhere on the offensive line. And oddly enough, you know, those are the two things that are, you know, directly connected to Nick Caley and C.J. Stroud, that both need areas or areas of need. As we sit here today going into the first round of the draft that's going to start in several hours, which one do you think is the one they need the most right now? Like, we talked about those two. Just who knows what they're going to get. I think, Clint, if they go and get somebody out of either one of those positions, I think everyone will understand, and for the most part, depending on the player, will be cool with it. But which one do you get the feel is the biggest need right now for them?
The biggest need still has to be interior offensive line. There's just no other. I mean, like, I think that's how I feel, and I think that's
because so you're sitting there because before it was like the speed you were starting. Yeah, to
no,
get
I,
a little...
look, I think that is a desperate need, but I don't think that's as it doesn't have to be a first round pick to accomplish that. And I think they probably feel better about the wide receivers as a whole than I do. So I'm kind of trying to balance my opinion as well with where I think they are, and I think they're probably higher on the guards that they signed than I am. Even though the contracts that they doled out, they don't really tell you as much. But you know, I gotta believe that D'Amico Ryan's words mean something. And when he sat up there as soon as the season was over and said we got to be able to protect our quarterback, just being a football guy, you look at how this team's going to win games offensively. It's going to go first and foremost through C.J. Stroud. And if you can't protect him, then you're handcuffing the hell out of him. So I got to believe that all the hype is real, the Booker hype is real, the Banks hype is real. I got to believe that it's an offensive lineman, and you know, I think that's the biggest need right now.
Brandon says O-line because it can help with the passing and running game, saying O-line's more important right now. Listen, I don't think it's easy. I don't think it's as easy. Like, I think obviously at the end of last year, the thought was like, hey, this offensive line is pathetic. Because the last memory that you have of the Texans is in Kansas City and C.J. Stroud just getting his ass just dropped repeatedly. Yeah. You know, just over and over again, repeatedly. I like them J's on you. Repeatedly just getting dropped. But also, we have to remember there is no Tank Dell, right? And right now, they are very short when it comes to weapons. And I think to lean that way, I'm with you, because I ask myself, whatever the combination is, Clint, whatever it is, the... You know, Juice Scruggs as the center, Tomlinson as the guard, and, you know, is it Ed Ingram? Is it Titus Howard? Whatever that is, that when you think about that I don't know if that sits sits well with me. If I'd rather have that than have Justin Watson on the outside and have something better than that or not. I don't think it's easy, because I do think both of them are something that they are really missing and in need of. But you're right, like, I'd almost trust C.J. Moore to try to make another receiver work because you got Christian Kirk and Nico Collins.
Well, look, I think you just – you know, it's – the protection thing, and this is going to go contrary to what I think they need to go O-line, but the protection thing, as I've said multiple times, is – it's layered, right? I mean, that issue was an O-line talent issue. That issue was a communication issue. That was you know, that was a quarterback not being aware and protecting himself issue. It was a scheme issue with the offensive play caller. So there were so many different things there that I believe it's going to be an easier fix than one might think. We're just talking about fixing the problem. We're not talking about winning a Super Bowl. And so that's when I let Larry and Stafford a couple weeks ago when he brought up this wide receiver thing. The wide receiver really crept into the conversation for me at that point, because you start thinking about it, man. In critical moments, I mean, guys have just been smothered. And we saw teams from, I think, the Miami game on last year, we saw teams that would tilt coverage towards Nico Collins and ultimately would take him out of the game in terms of in rhythm and on time, right? I mean, that he still gets his on the scrambles, and he can still make a big play here or there. But knowing, hey, this is what I'm getting, I'm going to feed Nico, it made it more difficult. So that receiver thing is, you know, that's hard. I don't think that was a scheme thing.
The receivers?
Yeah, like I don't think the fact that we got suffocated was necessarily a scheme thing. I think that was the inability to strike fear in the opponent, with the exception of Nico Collins. We can tilt our coverage towards Nico Collins. You're not going to run it well enough. You're not physical enough up front.
And you may not have enough time to,
yeah. Yeah, we can get a great point. Yeah, we can damn sure get after you. We can load the line of scrimmage. We can pressure your quarterback. Your tight end's not going to run away from anybody. He's not going to help you in pass protection. John Metchie, you know, with Tank Dell and Stephon Diggs both out, you know, it's –
Oh, especially when that part.
Well, yeah. I mean, once that part hit, it's just like, man, the defense really had their way. And so I only say all that to say I want to go O-line, and it's easy to say that now because they've been tied to Booker so much, the guard out of Alabama. But I'm going to tell you, I will not be disappointed at all if they mess around and go wide receiver, get aggressive and go up and get a wide receiver, as long as that wide receiver has speed, more speed attached to his resume.
Text line coming through. I'd like to see them go skill position in the first round. I believe they can find a solid old lineman in the second or third.
Okay.
I don't know how much I believe that. I think it's possible. We see teams do it all the time. I'll just say here recently, that hasn't been their strong suit, especially for somebody if they have to come in and play immediately.
That's the deal. That's it. I think you could – I mean, obviously, hell, you can find good, great offensive linemen in the third, fourth round.
But, yeah, Trey Smith is a sixth-round offensive lineman. Yeah.
I mean, that had a lot to do with his heart, too, I think. Yeah. But you can find them places, but if you're talking about rolling the dice and giving yourself a better chance of going 7-11 on that first round on that come-out, then you're going to have to get aggressive and go get a guard. Yeah. You're gonna have to know which guy possesses the skill set to go, all right, I know he's physical enough. I know he has the ability to pass protect and move his feet and communicate. We got to go get him, because to your point, there's not going to be but three or four of those guys in the draft.
Yeah. All right, coming up as we continue live from the draft party, we are right. And it's right across the street from the George R. Brown Convention Center. It is just now getting started. We're seeing it all get set up, and it's going to be a great time out here. So make your way, if you can, out here, and stop by and say hello as we continue this thing. But we got to get a little deeper into the man of the hour, Jalen Green. They needed a big performance from Jalen Green, and they got one. But wait till you hear what he had to say. This is transparent and honest. You don't want to miss that coming up next.